Howdy again.
How are you?
It's been hours. How was lunch?
Lunch was very, very nice. And I'm getting ready now to, well, I'm looking at you doing a television show, but I'm dubbing four times. So something's never changed.
Congratulations. You have to look at me four times now, but no more after today.
That's
I'm happy
true.
For you. I wish I could say the same for my wife. She would love to say that as well. So I'm trying to figure out where all to go with this, but here's where I'm going to start, okay?
All right.
Trying to figure out which one of us was more nervous. Me on the night of November 14th, 2002.
At Madison Square Garden?
As you introduced me as the new play-by-play announcer for Alabama basketball. Or was it you on March 27th of 2004, the following season, as we gathered in the lobby of our hotel to make our way over to the arena in Phoenix, Alabama UConn, if we won, we were going to go to the first Final Four in school history.
Man.
You and I both. Now, back then, you may or may not have been known to take a puff on a cigarette.
I was still smoking then, yes.
Yeah,
stupidly.
Yes, you were.
Yes. And I'm sure I'd smoked a pack that day.
Maybe while we were waiting on Stipe to get the car from the valet parking. I just remember how tight we all were.
Oh,
you guys had done national championship games for Alabama football. I had done a couple of national championship games, albeit at the NAIA level, that was still big for me, big for us. But we were all so nervous that day, you would have thought we were playing.
You're exactly right. And it was one of those, if I put together a list of the 10 greatest moments that I've enjoyed while being on the network, that would be in the group, because it was the furthest we've ever gone. It was so much fun watching all those guys led by Mark Gottfried getting to the Elite Eight. It was just incredible, and we all were nervous. I got to tell you, I was 50 times more nervous then than I was that night at the Garden when you were doing your first game, because all I had to do was say, here's Chris, and you had to, all I had to say is, here's Chris, but before that, tell you, just don't screw it up.
Yeah, which you did, and I tried my best not to.
And you did not. You did not.
I do remember one more thing about the UConn game, and when we got in the rental and we were all quiet except Brian Passink, who was then our sideline reporter during the broadcast, said, I am more nervous than I ever was getting ready to play in an NCAA tournament
game. Yeah. I mean, it was phenomenal, and it still is right up there, like I said, because in all the years I've done this, the two things that I wanted to see most of all were getting a Heisman Trophy winner at the University of Alabama. We got that, obviously, with Mark Ingram. And the other is to make it to a Final Four. I knew that we were going to win football championships. I knew we were going to win softball titles. I knew baseball was going to make it to Omaha. I knew, and gymnastics was going to win national championships. I knew all that. But I'm still holding out for that Final Four appearance. The day after Mark Ingram won his Heisman Trophy, I had to go tape an interview with Coach Grant, and I told him that. I said, okay, I've always wanted to see a Heisman Trophy in a Final Four. We got the Heisman, now it's your turn. And I hope he can do it. I hope somebody can do it one of these days, because it is the epitome of what college athletics is all about, getting to the Final Four. I don't care if you win or not, just get there.
There is nothing, Tom, more enjoyable than being a part of things and doing what we do.
Oh gosh, yeah.
When things are going well.
Yeah. But
I'm not sure people understand, especially for guys like us who were Alabama fans long before we started working on the broadcast, how difficult the tough times can be, because it impacts us. Not to the level it does the coaches themselves that may be struggling, but we've got to work with them. We've got in the case of the radio and or TV shows, we've got to talk to them throughout. You dealt with that on more than one occasion. What was your mindset going into that?
Well, it was always, as you said, we were fans first. And I think that the coaches that we work with understood that. For a while, Nick Saban and I, just we were doing his radio show and doing his TV show, and I'm not sure he knew what to think of me, and I'm not sure I knew what to think of him. But I think he finally realized, you know, this guy is on my team. And I think that's what all the coaches understood, is no matter how bad it was, we were hurting with them. Not to the extent they were, because we didn't really have any control over the situation, and certainly they did. But as I go back and think about all the times that we have covered, I think the two coaches that I felt the closest to were Mike Shula and Mark Gottfried, because I covered them when they were players here at the University of Alabama and thought the world of them then, and I wanted them to succeed so badly when they became the head coach. So those were incredible times working with those two. But you're right, it's... You know, we all have ups and downs in our daily lives, and obviously with our teams that we love to watch. And yes, we suffer. We suffer as much as anybody, anywhere, anytime. But those are the times where I guess we make our money. They pay us to do the wins. Those are easy. It is the losses where indeed those are the tough times, particularly when you get in a basketball game, for instance, and you're just totally out of it, and you know you're totally out of it, but you still got to paint a picture, you still got to tell the story, you still got to put as positive a spin on it as humanly possible.
I very rarely disagreed with you, but I will only slightly amend what you said. Say that they pay us to drive back from Oxford, Mississippi.
True.
At 11:30 or midnight on a Tuesday night, and in your case, to get back and edit highlights for the taping of a 9 o'clock coaches TV show the next day. We do the wins in the bowl games for fun.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. The guy who was my boss at Collegiate Sports Properties, the rights holder before Learfield Communications now, my boss then was Kirk Wood. And he said, always when you lose, put as many highlights as you can, because that way coach doesn't have to be on camera explaining what happened. He can just kind of mumble his way through the highlights. Yeah. So sometimes that was difficult, especially in the case of the one you just mentioned over at Ole Miss, because we've had some just awful, awful games in Oxford over the years. But
games even in years where we won championships.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Basketball. The last basketball regular season title and the most recent football title occurred with big time losses over in Oxford, Mississippi, as memory serves.
It's still one of my favorite places to visit, but not necessarily to watch a ball game.
Yeah. The part that so few people that are just listening to the game broadcast or listening to our show or listening to a game broadcast, the part they don't know really about your job that you've had for almost two decades over this 36-year career you've had at Alabama, Tom, is the affiliate relations part of it. The fans feel like they know you because they've heard you for so long. But the people that run the radio stations that make our network what it is, such as Tide 99.1 and 95.3 The Bear, they got to know you face-to-face. I would imagine part of what you're going to miss is the chance to make that spring tour that you made every year.
You know, that is. That was my early, late spring, early summer job, was to go visit all the affiliates. And I had a ball, because it took me back to my roots. When Jack Black hired me to be a DJ at WWWF in Fayette, Alabama. 990 on your radio dial, a voice and choice of Northwest Alabama. it took me back to those days, and I still have so many friends that own and run radio stations in this state, and I fully intend to keep visiting some of those. And thankfully, there have been five or six or as many as a dozen who've said, hey, just make sure that you and Martha come back to see us. And it has been fun getting to know those people all these years and seeing the changes made in the radio business. You realize you're doing something there that not many folks do anymore, and that's do a live radio show with an actual human being sitting at the controls. Most often nowadays, everything's run by computer, and that's okay. I understand that it's what has to be done, I guess, from an economic standpoint. But I still remind people every time I get a chance that radio and TV stations are supposed to serve in the public interest, convenience, and necessity, and sometimes in the public interest kind of gets lost. That's the reason I was so proud during the time of the tornado that struck Tuscaloosa. I was so proud of what the radio stations in this community did. They stayed on the air 24 hours a day for days at a time. Transmitting information that was important to the public, or sometimes just letting people talk about what had happened to them. And that's when I'm the proudest of the radio stations in this state. And I tell them all the time that, hey, if you want to stay in business and make money, you got to serve your community first. And certainly the guys at Town Square do that, and y'all do a super job of it. But there are a bunch of stations in this state that are doing that job, and I'm pleased to call a lot of those folks my friend.
We talk about recently your retirement from the Alabama broadcast, but there are those perhaps younger than I that don't realize you were involved in broadcasting long before you started working with Alabama. In fact, there are quite a few listening that might be surprised to know that the first game I ever heard you broadcast was as the color analyst for the Birmingham Bulls, Cincinnati Stingers, one of the most knockdown, drag out.
That was the night of the
bloodiest
fight, huh?
Fights ever. Was it the Valentine's Day Massacre?
That sounds right. Yeah, I remember it vividly as though it were yesterday because it was such a fun game. But yeah, you know, I tell people when they say, "Why are you retiring?" I say, "Well, because ever since I was 15 and a half, 16 years old, I've gotten up and gone to work every single day, and I'm just ready to take a break from it." But you're right. I worked in Fayette to start with, came here to Tuscaloosa, worked for Burt Bank at his group of radio stations, and then went to Birmingham to Channel 13 for a long, long time, for 19 years. And then Kirkwood gave me the opportunity to go to work full-time for Collegiate Sports Properties, and then Wright Waters called me and said, "Hey, do you want to come to work for the Crimson Tide Sports Network?" So it's been a hoot, Chris. And believe me, these last several years have been so much fun because back in the days when I was working at Channel 13, I was making some of those basketball trips, racing over the day of the game, doing the game on the road, and then racing back that night so I could be at work as a news director at Channel 13 the next morning. Those were the tough times, and those were tough on Elliot and Brian and the family because I wasn't around as much as I should have been. But it's been a lot of fun over the course of the last 20-something years being able to do this job full-time and be around guys like you. And Mick Gillespie just walked into my office. So guys like Mick and obviously Eli, Tom, Phil, I mean, I could just go on and on. It's just been a heck of a lot of fun.
I'll finish with this one. That first season, which turned out to be a year where Alabama was ranked number one in men's basketball for the only time so far
until we went
in
to
program
Utah.
History. Do what, Al?
Until we went to Utah.
Until we wrecked it in Utah, you're right. But I don't know if you recall, there was a trip earlier that year where we played Ohio State and Springfield, Massachusetts.
Ah, oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
You and Stipe couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a football game, I think, at LSU the next day, and there was no way to get to Baton Rouge. So Ryan Brown went with me as a producer and color analyst, and he interviewed you at halftime of the basketball broadcast. And when we got back, I don't know if you remember this or not, you asked me, how did Ryan do? I said, he did a great job. He goes, well, it's good. I figured he did. He goes, but I got to tell you, he sounded a little nervous when he was interviewing me at halftime. Now, this is, again, my first season.
Yeah.
And this is probably about game seven or eight of that first year. So I told you when you made that statement, I said, "Tom, you got to remember, Ryan is like me. we grew up listening to you.
Yeah.
So it's probably a little intimidating. It was probably a little intimidating for Ryan to be interviewing you on the Alabama broadcast. And then you asked me, I don't know if you even remember it, you asked me, well, you don't still feel that way, do you? And I said, oh, heck no, I've worked with you for a month now. I've lost all respect for you. So I do have to say, this many years later, I was lying then, and I would be lying now if I didn't say that I didn't have even greater respect for you than I did at that time. Thanks for everything. I've told you how I feel, but I do appreciate the time today and all the time that that you've given, and I appreciate the care package of radio and TV show formats that you have left me.
Yes, that's your job now, at least
some
partly.
Of it.
But I've given you my phone number, and I said, call me anytime. But I also said, I might not answer, but you can call.
Have fun. Love you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Love you guys, too. And I'll close with you like I have with everybody else this week. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, my friend.
See you, Chris.